London.
London?
London?
Yes, London. You know, fish, chips, cup of tea, bad food, worse weather, Mary Poppins, London.
Hey, look, kids. There's Big Ben and there's Parliament.
There it is, there it is, there it is.
I know. I can't seem to get over to the left, honey. I'll try next time. Sorry. We'll get out of this jam in a minute. Kids, Big Ben, Parliament. Kids.
We know, Big Ben.
Parliament.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Hello, governors. Hey, I got to do the whole show with a terrible English accent for the rest of the day. I had to jump between a terrible Australian accent and I don't know what I'm doing. Today's show's going to be a mess.
Kind of sounded like Brad Pitt in Snatch.
Yeah, right.
Or Pikey.
You like ducks? Why don't you guess somebody's going to go down and have a fight? Let's have a fight.
What? You know, ducks.
Ducks. They're like a caravan.
What's a caravan?
Go down and have a caravan. Have a fight.
Mickey.
Ah, good stuff.
I love that movie.
Good stuff.
As you
who
tell.
Doesn't? Yeah, no, it was great. Got, what was his name? The dude from Get Shorty. The guy that did the line about the bad food, worse weather.
Oh, that's Dennis Farina.
Thank you, Dennis Farina.
He's from Chicago. Well, he passed away.
I know, yeah. That's why RIP to Dennis Farina, but Get Shorty,
Law
obviously
and Order.
Snatch, Law and Order, and then he was the dad of Jennifer Lopez in Out of Sight, which I always loved that role. Remember Out of Sight with George Clooney and Jennifer Lopez?
Don't think I ever saw that.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I know he played a dad in something else, too. He was actually in a lot of movies, that
you
guy.
You never saw Out of Sight?
No. Not a J-Lo fan.
You see, I was just going to say, we had this conversation last week about J-Lo and Shakira.
Jenny from the Block.
And I think that is why you don't have an appreciation for Jennifer Lopez, is because you never saw her get into that bathtub fully clothed with George Clooney and Out of Sight.
Well, if she's leaving the clothes on, I definitely don't want to see it. So.
No, man, it was like, you know, left to the imagination. You're no fun, Chris Chapman. Damn. Welcome in here to the Mac Attack in a very long roundabout way, and thanks for sticking through the terrible accents. You know, I really should be better at having a terrible British accent because my dad is from England. He's from Lewisham, which is, do you know the soccer team of South London, Lewisham?
That would be, let's see, South London. Crystal Palace.
Bang.
Yes.
Look at you.
I am a Premier League snob. So
that is, you know what? I thought I was setting you up there.
Yeah.
We tested you. You are a worldly man. You are a progressive man. You are a man of the earth.
And Crystal Palace, the club, is actually named after an old building that was in that section of London that was made out of glass, and they called it Crystal Palace.
Yeah, no, that is my team. I know nothing about them. You know infinitely more about them.
They're actually pretty decent, considering they're not a Big Six club.
Yeah.
They're not one of the more powerful, money-rich clubs that are in the Premier League.
But that means, I mean, we saw Leicester a few years ago.
Yeah, Leicester took care of business a couple of years. Leicester's up
is
there
it
right
Leicester
now.
Or Leicester?
Leicester. Leicester, yeah.
See, look
Leicester
at me.
City, yeah.
Look at me with my vast football.
See, now, my grandparents are Geordie. Well, my grandmother was a Geordie, and my grandfather is a Scouser. So,
is that like a big rivalry?
No rivalry. That would be Newcastle and Liverpool, respectively.
Oh, okay.
Durham County, supposedly. Newcastle, supposedly one of the worst places weather wise in all of Europe.
Well, it's looking like weather is going to be a factor when the Raiders face off against the Bears here. Obviously, in a few hours. It's going to be early Sunday morning. Wasn't it going to be like 6 a.m. something like that?
I like that, by the way.
What? The early start?
Yes, because I actually work early on Sunday morning, and I like coming into the studio and turning on the TV, and there's a game on TV.
Well, I could see that. I'm going to like it because I'm starting my new show on Sirius tomorrow with Mark Henry, Busted Open. The pro wrestling show is extending to 6 days a week over there on Fight Nation 156, so I'm going to begin up at 4:30.
Yikes.
Show starts at 6. That means I'll be primed and ready for Sunday at 6. I'll already be on that schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, as they say. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And as we talk about the weather, it is supposed to rain.
Big shock.
Yeah, right. It's London in October. Tottenham, right? Opening up new Tottenham.
Although they will not be the first, neither team will be the first team to score a touchdown in that stadium. Bayern Munich did that against Tottenham last Tuesday.
Are we talking rugby?
No, soccer. Bayern Munich from Germany.
What are you talking about?
They scored seven goals against Tottenham.
I was so confused. I was like, listen, I'm not a soccer expert, but I'm pretty sure you can't score a touchdown in soccer.
7-2. Like, yeah. They won 7-2. So,
wow.
So Spurs had a safety, and Bayern Munich put up a touchdown.
All right.
Low scoring affair. Well, at Tottenham Stadium.
I was going to say, we might have the same thing happening on Sunday when the Raiders meet the Bears.
I was joking with some friends of mine that I might actually be willing. I wish there was a prop bet. Raiders plus 3.5, or minus 3.5, I should say. Raiders minus 3.5 over Bayern Munich. So will the Raiders score more than 10 points on Sunday against the Bears?
No.
I don't think so.
I
like Bayern Munich on that bet.
I'll tell you what, with the rain, I actually just a few hours ago spoke to Ed Graney on the press box over there on sister station ESPN Las Vegas. I was doing the morning show with our pal Clay Baker. We caught up with Ed. He is in London, and he was kind of talking about the weather, what that could do to this game, the expectations. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of Raider fans over there, overseas, depending on how big a Raider fans, I don't know how they actually are, right? But the expectations from this game, we've seen this before in terms of the NFL trying to branch out. I don't know how effective it's working. I saw a photo from JJ Stankovic from NBC Sports Chicago. We had him on the show, I think, last week.
Yeah.
He showed a great photo from the NFL shop in London, and it was a photo of a model of Khalil Mack catching a ball, very clearly catching a ball like as in a pass.
Okay.
And Derek Carr is jumping at his feet trying to tackle him.
What?
So don't you love it when Tim Howard infamously put that gigantic header past Cristiano Ronaldo, who was playing goal? I really don't think they get the game over there. I'm talking to Ed. I know people are excited. I know people are going to be showing up, but I really don't think they understand what football is all about yet.
Not if that's the picture that they have in the NFL store.
It's so good.
By the way, props on your soccer knowledge. Tim Howard. I mean, I know. He's well known to soccer fans, but I guess you're a little more of a soccer fan than
I am. I am a seasonal, and by seasonal I mean
World Cup?
Every 4 years.
Okay,
yeah.
That's so fair. That's
and
fair.
I'm a FIFA player,
so
I like playing the game. So
okay.
You do have chances of me knowing some players, like I feel like Lukaku was a guy. I like their names.
Lukaku looks like he's running in jeans. By the way, in real life, when you watch him, he looks like he's got jeans on when he's running.
It's always the names. I'm like, ooh, Lukaku or Mbappe, who now in fairness, I do know Mbappe.
He's a Jordan athlete, yeah.
Well, and also amazing, really, because as I talk about the World Cup, what he did in the last World Cup.
Like, yes,
I'm not a complete moron.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
Young, he's only like 21, 22 years old.
It does scare me how little I know about a lot. And I can't say I know a lot about anything specifically, but I feel like I could fake it in just about any other sport. It's just endless. Just endless, the excitement that sports can bring. And, I think you should. I know I'm not the biggest soccer fan.
Yeah.
But people who are all out on soccer, I've never understood that.
No, and the people who kind of bash it. Like, I don't get it. It's like, you know what? It's
I get the antics when you bash the antics.
Yeah, but is it any worse in the NBA?
Yes. It's worse in soccer, dude. It's bad.
I mean, guys flop all the time in
the
NBA.
They do, but it's not the excruciating.
Look at LeBron
flopping.
James, right?
No.
He kind of caught that elbow the one time, and he's rolling around on the ground holding his head.
It's one time that happens. That's a regular occurrence in soccer.
For some guys,
they roll and they gesticulate and they scream and they kick.
But you know why?
And then they got the magic spray.
Well, yeah,
they're trying to get an advantage.
The refs are stupid, and they give fouls.
Yeah. It's gamesmanship.
It buys time as well. Like, look, there's no break.
Yeah.
There's halftime, and that's it. There's no timeouts or anything.
Oh, I know. That's why I appreciate it so much. The endurance, the cardio, and all that good stuff.
It's great TV.
Yeah, it is.
Because I know, right? Like, all right, tomorrow my team plays at 7 a.m. I know by 8:45 the game is over.
Right. Yeah, that is nice. That is nice. So as we sit here talking about football, why we get sidetracked talking about football? Because the Raiders and the Bears are playing in London. And as I was saying, I was talking to Ed, and he gave us a little bit of a weather report, Ed Graney from the Review Journal. It is expected to rain up there, and I just can't get myself removed. I'm not crazy, and we're actually going to talk about the lines this weekend in the NFL. We're going to be coming up here shortly with Wes Reynolds from VSiN. You've heard him here on the Mac Attack before. We're going to talk a little NFL betting. I am not over the moon about this week's lines. I'm not, like, nothing, not a lot is jumping out to me, but I'm telling you one thing that is absolutely jumping out at me, and that is the under on this Raiders-Bears game. It's at 40 points right now, which I think is sweet to begin with. Never mind what I'm about to mention. in terms of the rain.
Yes.
That now needs to be factored in. It's actually at 5.5 at the consensus is 5.5 the line. It's now 5 at a lot of other books. Westgate's at 5. I'm looking at live odds, but MGM's got it at 5. So 5, 5.5, depending on where you're shopping at, right? Now you've got to factor in the weather, so that's rain. Then you have to factor in the injury report, and it's looking like Terrell Williams might not be playing in this game. They're going to try. He's probably going to go.
Okay.
But what version of Terrell Williams are we going to get? And we already know that this is a limited offense in terms of actual weapons. I'm not saying Hunter Renfrow or someone can't come in and fill that void necessarily, but Terrell Williams has been pretty outstanding to start this season, and to not have him at full strength in terms
one
of...
one less weapon.
To go against a Bears defense that already is gnarly as gnarly gets.
Maybe the best defense in the league.
Right. And now, so what's the game plan if you're the Bears? Worry about Darren Waller? Okay. I mean, in fairness to Josh Jacobs, that's fine, but I feel like they stop the run in their sleep.
Yeah,
like,
They're so well rounded,
yeah.
And I think I saw that. I read it wrong? But Roquan Smith is now is he playing this game or no? He's not.
Last I heard, he was not playing in the game.
Because I thought I saw something scroll across the bottom of the screen yesterday on ESPN that maybe he was only going to miss this game and he's expected back soon. I don't know. I'm misspeaking. But
this is one of the
great mysteries.
Yeah. It's really odd, this Roquan Smith story. Obviously, middle linebacker of the Chicago Bears, leading tackler of the Chicago Bears last season in a defense that was absolutely stacked.
Top 10 pick, right, last year?
Yeah, 6 or 7.
He was really good. I mean, he's
incredible.
High draft pick.
Incredible, right? So they say he missed last Sunday's game due to personal reasons. Now, I've hit up people in Chicago, people that I respect, journalists, friends, media. I've tried to get the scoop. There doesn't seem to be anything. I don't think anyone knows anything. This is one of the more tightly kept secrets in all of the NFL right now.
See, now, on the Bears' Twitter, it says Roquan Smith addresses the media saying, "I will play Sunday."
Okay. All right. So there you go. Update from Chris Chapman there.
Says personal issue is behind him. He's focused on moving forward. Excited to get back on the practice field today. And looking forward to playing in London.
All right, so that is according to Roquan Smith. So we will assume that Roquan Smith is going to be in there. That's good for the Chicago Bears.
That's not good for the Raiders.
Live reaction. No, it's not good for the Raiders. But you know what? We saw this last week, and I think this is kind of what we were talking about in terms of the running game. Nick Kwiatkowski came in and filled in for Roquan Smith last week, and he had just a monster game.
Is there a more Chicago name?
Nick Kwiatkowski? No. This is about his Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah.
Trubisky?
Rolling with the Polish names there.
Trubisky and Kwiatkowski, and yep. So, yeah, between those two, it's about as Chicago as it gets. But, you know, you saw what he did last week. He was outstanding. Nick Williams came in and filled in for Akeem Hicks, who was outstanding. So even when they're out some of their best players, the plug and play on that defense is unbelievable.
When you have a culture, though, it helps.
Yep. So that's obviously a big help. But I go back to that under. I'm over the moon about that under. I love it. I don't know in terms of the 5, 5.5. I would stay away from that. We'll get more into the lines. As far as that goes with Wes Reynolds from VSiN, coming up here in a few minutes, we'll touch on all sorts of things around the NFL. Maybe we'll get into some college football as well. Also on the docket, I want to bring our pal in, Ryan, the hockey guy, to talk a little VGK, because tonight is massive for the Vegas Golden Knights, Chapman. For obvious reasons, right?
Yes.
It's a rivalry game.
San Jose, that's the one that you circle.
But it's also, you know,
their home opener.
That's exactly. Their home opener, second game of the season. Momentum is everything, right?
Got your ass kicked on Wednesday.
Right. You know you're going to be getting their best effort. I'm assuming, as we saw from Erik Karlsson dealing with some very scary news. We found out within the last 24 hours just why Erik Karlsson missed that game one on Wednesday night. It was actually because his wife went into labor, and thankfully the wife and the baby are okay.
Yep.
But the reason he was out, because on Wednesday they didn't know if everything was going to be okay.
Yeah, and they've had some time now, and I saw Carlson's tweet, and you know it was very humbling when you read his tweet, because he basically said, you know, my wife is the most incredible woman I've ever met in my life, basically, you know, to paraphrase. And you know, hockey's not important at a moment like that. I mean, it is, but it isn't. Right, it takes a back seat.
And, absolutely,
you know, you were glad that the news turned out to be good for EK, and you know, I think he's a guy that it's easy to like to watch him play. I mean, just when he's at full health, he's just an incredible player. But You know, now I wonder if he'll go out and play tonight. I'm guessing he will.
I'm thinking he will.
You know, because it's kind of important for him, I think, to get out there.
It's a divisional game, absolutely. Yeah. It's the home opener. And you just said it. You got your ass kicked in the first game.
Yeah.
And that has gotten stick in the craw of Erik Karlsson and really the whole team. So, presumably, you're going to be getting the San Jose Sharks' best effort tonight.
Minus Evander Kane.
Minus Evander Kane, right? But when you look at the Vegas Golden Knights side, they're minus some pretty damn important pieces as well. Obviously, we've already known about Cody Eakin and Alex Tuch. Alex Tuch week to week. Cody Eakin presumably back a little bit sooner. Flip side of that, we got an update on Nate Schmidt. Nate Schmidt is now week to week. I think there is real concern with that, Magnum, because we've seen this before. Last year, right? Who was week to week? Paul Stastny.
Yeah.
Ended up being 30 games.
Yeah. Erik Haula started out week to
thank
week.
Thank you.
And then it turned into month to month.
The entire season it ended up being.
But Gallant made a comment yesterday about someone asked him about Nate Schmidt missing the 20 games last year and how that prepared the team. And Gallant's comment was, well, I hope he doesn't miss 20 games. So maybe you could read into that a little bit. Maybe you can't. But hopefully it's not 20 games is kind of what I think some people are reading it as Gallant saying he doesn't think he's going to miss 20 games. And that's a possibility. I think as long as it's not a tear, he'll probably be back sooner than later. Like if it's just a bruise or something like that, but a sprain. But knee very important in hockey.
100%. 100%. We will follow up more on that with Ryan, the hockey guy, coming up at the end of the show. But coming up next here on the Mac Attack, we're going to head out. We're going to speak to one of our pals, Wes Reynolds of VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, as we dive into this week's NFL lines. Don't go anywhere. This is the Mac Attack.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
All right, joining the show right now, you can hear him on this station on 920 The Game, but you can also hear him on SiriusXM Channel 204. He is a host on VSiN. He is the co-host of The Green Zone. He is also a fellow Hoosier. He's my buddy Wes Reynolds. Wes, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, Ryan. Good to be with you again, man.
Good to talk to you. Good to talk to you for a couple different reasons. Before we get into the NFL, before we get into actual sports, anytime I can bring a legitimate media member on and we can talk a little bit of pro wrestling, I'm going to do it. This is a monumental week for the business. We talked a little bit on the show about All Elite Wrestling having their debut on Wednesday. The WWE moves to Fox tonight, Friday night. There's just a lot going on in the world of professional wrestling. What's your excitement level and what have you thought about the week so far?
Well, I mean, I think the fact that we got pretty two solid wrestling shows, I mean, the expectations are always, oh, these are going to be blowaway shows. And, I mean, you look at the NXT show on USA, I thought maybe it was the slightly better wrestling show, per se. Not that either were bad, but when you watched AEW, that did not look like a minor league promotion. And we know that AEW's ceiling is to be the number two promotion in North America. They're not going to surpass WWE in that regard. But if you looked at the show and you looked at that full arena in Washington, D.C., and you looked at the production of the show and the announcing team, I thought was very good. It did not look like a minor league promotion, and that is kind of exciting because we really haven't had that. We haven't had another promotion that could go to at least medium to big size arenas and draw big crowds and make it look like a big time show. And I thought that's what AEW did going forward. It did not surprise me in terms of the ratings. I think it was 1.4 million. That was right around the range I thought they were going to draw. We'll see what happens going forward. I mean, for the NXT show, which WWE obviously counter programmed, they're going to have to move out of that. Even though that crowd is really cool and it's a small venue down at Full Sail in Orlando, they're going to have to move that out of there because it does look small time. Even though the talent is pretty equal and maybe even better, it does look small time comparing to AEW. And then when you look to tonight, I think SmackDown Live is going to draw a pretty big number because Fox has promoted the hell out of it.
Yep.
The talent has been everywhere. I mean, we saw Roman Reigns at halftime of the Rams-Seahawks game last night. And then, obviously, there's that guy named The Rock that can pop a rating, and I think probably the big rating is going to be largely credited to him. Now, hopefully they don't make the mistake of putting Rock at the top of the show.
Well,
of a sudden, okay, now we've seen The Rock. so now we don't have to tune in anymore.
Yeah, what else do you got for me? Hey, you brought up that game last night. Obviously, you mentioned Roman Reigns was on the broadcast of that Seattle game. Dude, that pass that Russell Wilson made to Tyler Lockett, I'm trying not to be hyperbolic. I'm trying to rein it in. I'm trying not to sit here and lose my mind. But when I saw that throwing across his body with three defenders chasing him down, with Lockett to have the frame of mind to make that catch, Wes, is that not one of the best throws and catches you've ever seen in your entire life?
It was pretty damn good, Mac. I mean, and the fact that Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett probably have one of the best connections ratios really in the league. I mean, they're one of the best duos. I mean, they just have a really good connection, and we don't see Russ, because of his ability to run, we don't really see him throw a ton. We don't see him put the stupid numbers that Pat Mahomes puts up,
right?
Or that a healthy Drew Brees can put up, where I mean, they could throw for easily 350 yards sometimes in the first half in Patrick Mahomes' case. But and I mean, it's amazing that they have that kind of connection there, because you look at Seattle's offense and it's like, wow, they don't really scare you, because they're not putting up these high offensive totals like a Kansas City or even what New England can do from time to time. But the fact that you've got a running quarterback, and I mean, when we always rate the quarterbacks, Ryan, I mean, Russell Wilson maybe gets overlooked, because I don't think that he's up there with the Mahomeses and the Breezes of the world in terms of just a pure passer, but in terms of how valuable he is to that team. Because, look, he's undersized. He shouldn't be good. He doesn't fit the prototype of what you think an NFL pocket quarterback should be, but he is so valuable to that team. And they would be lost without him, and that was a hell of a play and a hell of a finish. And we were talking about it on the air last night on the Green Zone. It had not only spread implications, but it also had contest implications. Of course, the Super Contest and the Circus Sports Million, where if you laid Seattle in the Circus Sports Million, you laid 1.5. In the Super Contest, you laid 1. And with as close as these come and as many entries as you have, every little half point matters. So, you know, hopefully nobody got caught on that end too badly.
Well, as we sit here talking about, you know, the value that Russell Wilson adds to this team and how indispensable he is, I'm looking at the updated odds for regular season MVP, at least courtesy of FanDuel. And they have Pat Mahomes, you know, as the rightful leader at only plus 100. I guess we can get into that. I mean, that is a huge, huge endorsement to Pat Mahomes. And also, I think you have to factor in, when you're talking about another MVP, if he is the leader and if he is going to win this, like a lot of people think he's going to, or at least has a possibility, that would mean back-to-back MVPs. And I feel like the NFL isn't always inclined to do that. Like, you have to be really special. And the reason I bring this up is because, Wes, I look at Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson is at plus 950. Right? Plus 950. He is the next closest. It goes from plus 100 to plus 950. And I got to imagine, Wes, if Russell Wilson can lead this team to an 11-5 record, to a 10-6 record, get them back in the playoffs, this is all we're talking about, the most valuable player to a team. Like, Kansas City has a lot of weapons. You just talked about it. Russell Wilson has next to nothing on that offense. If he makes a decent playoff push out of this team and gets them into a nice winning record, Wes, I love Russell Wilson at plus 950. What do you say?
Absolutely. I mean, and what you brought up there, Mac, I think is so key. And sometimes I think this gets ignored in these awards. I mean, of course, with the Heisman talk, it's always kind of, okay, we got to give this award to the best player on the best team.
Yeah.
And I don't think it should be like that. I think it's got to be who has the most value. That's not saying Mahomes doesn't have value with Kansas City.
Right.
But, I mean, Kansas City, he has taken it to another level, but Kansas City's had a pretty darn good offense, and Andy Reid, for all the, I think, a lot of unfair grief he gets, knows how to run offense, and he's done it for a long time and has been successful for a long time in this league. So, I mean, Russell Wilson could make sense. There's a couple other, I think, potential contenders out there. I mean, we don't want to rule a team out because they have one loss. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers can get it going, he's won it before. If Dallas is really for real, and I know that they stubbed their toe last Sunday night, in New Orleans because they got three victories over kind of three cream puffs, and then they played a real team and couldn't get anything going. But if they can turn it around, I mean, I think Dak Prescott will see some support. But, yeah, I'm with you. In terms of a value, I would probably – I mean, I think Russell Wilson, if you can get him kind of around 10-1, that's not bad value, and that division all of a sudden is wide open with the Rams now losing two in a row. The 49ers are still undefeated. They, of course, play Monday night against Cleveland. So that division's a lot more wide open than I think people expected it to be.
Yeah, you brought up Dak Prescott a little bit there. He's at plus 2,000, so 20-1. I don't hate that, depending on if you believe that the Cowboys are pretenders or for real. One of the only defensive members even mentioned in the MVP conversation is one Khalil Mack. And obviously, this is a huge weekend for Mr. Mack and the Chicago Bears because, well, they're going to London and they are playing the soon to be Vegas Raiders. Obviously, we know the relationship between Khalil Mack and the Raiders. This will be his first game back since then. The line itself, Wes, I got to be honest. I'm not over the moon about 5.5, depending on where you're getting your number, because I just don't know where to put this Bears team. And honestly, I don't know yet where to put this Oakland team because we've seen it different clips. They can certainly compete. Now, the thing that I do love, and I can't wait to get your thoughts on this because I've only heard everyone agree with me on this. I don't know if you're going to, but I am curious. The under on this game at 4.5, or 40.5. I love the under. We're finding out it's going to rain. Terrell Williams might be out. I mean, this is a lock on the under, yeah?
That would be the way I would lean, certainly. And I'm with you in terms of the side. I'm not really sure what to do. And I think the odds makers, when they put a line at about 4.5, 5, 5.5 in that range, that's kind of that dead zone in terms of key numbers in the NFL where it's like, okay, this is the number. You decide where it goes better. Right. I mean, you decide if it's going to head back toward the 3, if you like the Raiders, or if you like the Bears, that it heads up to 6 or potentially even higher. But it has kind of stayed stationary. And look, when you look at the spread, I really no adjustment. And talking to some of the bookmakers I've talked to this week, really not much of a difference in terms of the adjustment, actually, between Chase Daniel and Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
Now, the fact is, you got a Chase Daniel, who's an experienced backup, but now he's making the start, you know, miles across the pond. So, I mean, I think some bettors might be a little gun-shy, even though they know the Bears are the better team, and they've got an elite defense in this league, as Minnesota found out last week. But they're a little gun-shy maybe to lay these points here. And I actually saw, I was at the Raiders-Colts game last week, and look, the Raiders, I got to tell you, they at least play hard.
Yep.
They're not the most talented team, but they come out and give you an effort. And I thought right away from the jump street, they had the sense of urgency and the Colts were kind of just out there just playing, basically. But the Raiders look like, okay, we got a road loss. We know we're on a really long road trip. And then we got to go to London next week. And we don't have a home game till like November 3rd or the first week of November. So we have to go out and really get a good start on these guys. And they did. And plus, I think the Colts' injuries, especially defensively, and also with T.Y. Hilton, helped play into that. But, yeah, I have not bet this game yet. I mean, if I were to go anywhere on this game, I would probably look toward the under. Or at least maybe if I don't want to get it now because it's gone through 41, maybe wait and try to do like an in-game play on this. So, I think you're on the right track in terms of your thought process, at least.
All right, so we were kind of talking before the show, and I'm kind of with you. This is a difficult week to feel excited about, to like really point at anything where it gets your blood pumping. I am curious, though. I know you got a couple games. What are you high on as we head into this weekend?
Yeah, and when we were communicating on that, I mean, of course, I have an entry with a partner in the Circus Sports Million and also in the Super Contest, and look, there are going to be weeks where you like more than 5 games and you got to narrow them down and hope you pick the right 5 to use on your entry. And then there are going to be weeks where it's like, God, I'm really going to struggle to get to 5 games. And this is one of those weeks for me. I mean, everybody's different. I'm sure there's people out there that love this card. But me, I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to reach and maybe, you know, just take a gamble and really take a chance on some plays. But a couple I was looking at, I am looking at Baltimore and Pittsburgh and leaning to the 3.5 with the Steelers. I do think that they got some confidence at least getting a win. I know it was the Bengals. I know they're bad. I know their offensive line is horrible, and Dalton got sacked 8 times. But there's something to be said for getting a win. And one of the things about Baltimore, I don't think they're really losing because of Lamar Jackson. I think he's actually shown some development this year and some real improvement. You're seeing, though, that this is not the vintage Baltimore defense, because we've always assumed for years, even after Ray Lewis and some of the great players they had in the early 2000s have now retired and hung them up, they were still a really good defense. But, I mean, losing Mosley, losing a couple of the guys in free agency, you're starting to see that kind of bear fruit here for Baltimore. And this defense just is not the same defense. I still think it's solid. It's at least average or above average. But it can be had a little bit. So the Pittsburgh for the home dog is tempting, even though home dogs have not been doing very well this year. And, I mean, we know with NFL recency bias and trends, I mean, if you look this year, road underdogs have done really well this year. But eventually that stuff kind of regresses a little bit. So on this one, I like the home dog in Pittsburgh. And then another game I was looking at that I'm tempted by, and I have no idea why, but it seems fishy to me, is Denver at the Chargers. Denver 0-4. I had them last week. They cost me a perfect entry in the Super Contest at least
bums.
The week.
How dare they?
But, yeah, exactly. I know. So it's like they should be dead to me, right? But I'm a glutton for punishment. And I look at this, and look, the Chargers, now it's being bet down at 6.
Yeah.
I mean, you still can get some 6.5s out there. The Chargers, of course, don't really have a big home field advantage because they're still playing in that soccer stadium in Carson, California. They don't, 25, 30,000 people at this game. So, I mean, the Chargers really aren't a good home team. And they were kind of a team that I think caught all the right breaks last year. And I'm tempted to go with Denver. I think it's 6.5 in the contest, and you still got some 6.5s out there. If you want to put it in your pocket, maybe try to pay the extra juice and buy up to 7. But I don't think Denver at 0-4, I don't think they're very good, but they're not down there with the real dregs. They're not down there with the Bengals. They're not down there with the Dolphins and the Redskins and a couple of these other teams. They could have covered at Green Bay. They probably really should have. They were right there with Chicago at the end. They should have won the game last week and then blew a second-half lead. So Denver is one that I'm going to kind of hold my nose and look towards this week.
All right, there you go. The glutton for punishment himself, Wes Reynolds. You can catch him over there on SiriusXM 204 as well as here 920 The Game. He is the host of The Green Zone. Buddy, we appreciate it, all right?
You got it, Mac. Thanks for having me anytime.
No problem. We'll catch up with you down the road. That is Wes Reynolds. Make sure you go out there. Follow him on Twitter at WesReynolds1. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back tonight, game 2, the rivalry continues. San Jose Sharks, Vegas Golden Knights. We got Ryan the Hockey Guy coming by to talk about it all coming up next.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
All right. Coming up in about 3-4 hours, Vegas Golden Knights. Head up to there, geez, come on, Ryan, I'll punch myself in the face. Vegas Golden Knights taking on the San Jose Sharks, game 2 of season 3. Obviously, game 1 got off to the start, well, that all Vegas fans wanted, a complete drubbing of the San Jose Sharks. Tonight might be a little different. Obviously, we're going to be dealing with a highly motivated San Jose Sharks team, a team that I would imagine is going to have Erik Karlsson tonight. I don't know. We'll ask the experts. That's why we bring on our pal, Ryan the Hockey Guy, a.k.a. Ryan Wallace. He is the host over there at the VGK Insider Show on our sister station, Fox Sports Las Vegas. What's up, pal?
Not much. You know, big game tonight, I guess.
When you're talking about this early in the season, I don't think it gets much bigger, right?
No. And to be honest with you, I mean, it's a big opportunity for somebody on the back end to show that they can be a regular NHL contributor. Because with Nate Schmidt out week to week with a lower body injury, and don't ask me to give you anything more, I don't have anything more.
We can, like, literally never bring on any of you guys to talk injuries. It's just there's nothing to talk about.
It was funny because when I put out that update, somebody had tweeted at me and they're like, well, why do you guys even ask? Well, because if we didn't ask, you'd be mad at us
for
that.
Why don't you ask? Yeah, like, right.
It's our job.
It's so stupid.
Us doing our job is what it is. It doesn't help that we don't get the information that we'd like to get, but, I mean, we still have to do our job. So Nate Schmidt is certainly not playing on Friday, certainly not playing today. So we understand that. One of Nick Hague or Jimmy Schultz will be in the lineup. I expect it will only be one of them. You're not going to take out Nick Holden. He can play both sides. So that's valuable in this particular instance. I guess the main question is you've got two defensemen that are really, really good. You've got Braden McNabb and you've got Shea Theodore. Do you pair them up so that you have one NHL top flight pair of defensemen that you can roll out there and just try to bump their minutes up as much as humanly possible? Or do you split them up to try to balance things out? I feel like Gerard Gallant is going to go with pairing up McNabb and Theodore. I think John Merrill and Nick Holden will be paired up together. And then I think Jimmy Schultz is going to get the first crack at it. I think it'll be Jimmy Schultz and Derek Englund together in the third pair.
All right. Now, we talk about people getting opportunities, right? We're here with Ryan Wallace, a.k.a. Ryan the Hockey Guy. One person who's going to get another opportunity. Now, I don't know how long he's going to get this opportunity on this specific line, but I, of course, talking about the youngster, 20-year-old Cody Glass. We saw game one. Listen, there were a lot of good lines on the ice that night. Top line was doing great. Riley Smith, obviously, has two goals. But what that two line did with Mark Stone, Max Pacioretty, and Cody Glass, I love the vision. I love the cohesion. I obviously love the output from Cody Glass. He looks comfortable. I don't expect we're going to be getting a repeat, but I am curious to see what version we're going to get of Cody Glass tonight. Like, how good is he going to be? What's your gaze on Cody Glass as we head into game two?
I think it's really hard after just one game to say that Cody Glass can be the full-time second-line center for this team.
Sure.
However, if there was ever a situation in which a player is set up to succeed with those high expectations, it's playing alongside Max Pacioretty and Mark Stone.
Yes, right? 100%.
I mean, you couldn't ask for two guys to bring this kid along that are better suited to do so than Pacioretty and Stone. That all being said, they think the game in a very similar way.
Yeah.
I like that Cody Glass is only going out there and focusing on making the plays that are there in front of him. He's not forcing anything. And a lot of times when young kids get into trouble at the NHL level, until they've adjusted to the speed, it's because they're forcing plays. It's because they're trying to fit something that isn't there in their game. You don't get any of that with Cody Glass. And therefore, he's going to adjust to the speed of this game a lot easier if he continues to play that way. And he'll continue to play that way because Pacioretty doesn't force anything.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Not only it's a lot easier to not have those or to not feel that pressure or have those expectations when you're playing along two of the most veteran, calm, cool, collected, consistent players.
Yeah, I mean, you know what you're going to get out of those two guys every single time they go over the boards, every single time they're on the ice. Now, I personally think this team is shown to be deeper. If you can get Cody Glass into that situation and you can bring Paul Stastny down, this is no disrespect to Cody Eakin, but Paul Stastny, to me, brings out a little bit more offense out of his line mates than Cody Eakin does.
I would agree.
Will Cody Eakin be healthy quickly? That's the big question. Because Gerard Gallant, if he's not going to put Cody Eakin on the third line and not move Paul Stastny back, it has to be with a good reason. Because we know Gerard Gallant is loyal. We know Gerard Gallant likes the players that he likes and the guys that got him to where he is. And Cody Eakin is a major, major part of this team. However, you might be looking at a situation in which if Cody Glass continues to be good and he continues to force his hand and that line continues to be good and the lineup as a whole continues to be good, then Gerard Gallant's also the type of coach that isn't going to change anything if it isn't broken.
So and what would that mean for Eakin?
I don't know. I think that, you know, if you start to see any dip whatsoever in Tomáš Nosek in the fourth line, maybe you throw Eakin there just to see how it all kind of works out.
Yeah.
I think if you could get yourself into a situation at some point this year where Brandon Peary, Paul Stastny, and Alex Tuch are on a line together, or Valentin Zhikov, Paul Stastny, and Alex Tuch are on a line together, and you still have Cody Glass in the lineup, and you've got Cody Eakin in the lineup, I think you're a better team.
Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
No, and I also think that, you know, that's not to suggest that if you see a dip in the fourth line, Tomáš Nosek doesn't play. It's move Nosek to the wing, put Eakin in the center. Will Carrier and Ryan Reeves play essentially the same game? right? So I think you can interchange those two guys,
yeah.
and it makes you deeper.
All right, so as we look at the game tonight, obviously Vegas looked outstanding on Wednesday night, but that was a San Jose Sharks team. I mean, sans Evander Kane, that's fine. I don't think that's like a sticking point, but sans Erik Karlsson, that's a big piece that was missing out of that team on Wednesday night. We're assuming, we were just talking about it to start the show, he had his wife was giving birth. There were issues with the birth. He didn't know exactly. It was very touch and go. It was a very personal issue for Erik Karlsson, right?
Yeah.
We're assuming he's going to be back tonight.
I haven't seen an update on anything.
Okay.
But you know, I don't think anyone would blame him, right? If he didn't play tonight,
yeah.
I would probably lean toward he will be in the lineup. But at this point, I mean, this is a guy that has had. I mean, they have tried to get to this point in mm-hmm. their personal lives for a long time, and they have suffered through some things. So I don't think that. Whatever Erik Karlsson decides for tonight,
yeah, no one's gonna
be mad at him.
You bum! How yeah, dare
exactly,
you?
Yeah. Exactly, or at least no one should. Right?
Yeah, yeah, no. Hopefully, yeah. Outside, I mean, you see some of that on Twitter, but Twitter's anonymous and it doesn't matter. And it's not the real world. You don't really see that. Even heckling from fans in the arena, you never see stuff like that. They're hockey fans are mostly a decent bunch. So when you look at the game itself, I don't know how much game one plays into game two because these are professionals and professionals are going to get up no matter what.
Yep.
That said, San Jose is a force. They're usually a playoff team most of the time, sometimes President's Cup contenders. What are you expecting from Pete DeBoer's team? A very proud team and a team that I would imagine wants to get, you know, in the win column before things start to avalanche.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to come down to execution. Like, they've got to be better. They have to take care of the middle of the ice. They didn't do that really well at all against Vegas in game one. The Golden Knights had multiple high danger scoring chances, and really Martin Jones played a hell of a game. He's kind of the reason that it wasn't a bigger blowout, to be honest. You're banking, I think, on Martin Jones being as good, but if you can kind of clean up the turnovers, if you can clean up the middle of the ice, not allow Vegas to get a lot of shots from the slot, I think that's really what San Jose's focus is going to be on. And then just playing in Vegas' zone. They didn't do that a whole heck of a lot either. I think the Golden Knights were really good on their breakouts and their execution through the neutral zone, and they just seemed faster, a step faster all night long than San Jose was. So the Sharks need to bring up their compete level just that much more.
All right, so where are you going to be out today?
We are at Parkway Tavern on Flamingo.
Okay,
yep.
So the other one, not by me.
No,
not the
no,
one by me out in Henderson.
We're like 5 minutes away.
Okay.
Where
well,
we
look,
are
look
right
at
now.
You. You get an easy day today. So you're going to be out at Parkway. That includes post game as well?
Yes.
Nice.
Yep.
All right. So go out there, see Ryan Wallace, Ryan the hockey guy with VGK Frank as well. And Magnum, you're going to be out there, yeah? Nope. No? You're going to be back here? No?
He doesn't come out.
Oh.
Come on.
Oh, that's too bad. You go meet your adoring public, Magnum.
Once in a while.
Talk soccer with all those people as they wait in between. All right, so that is going to do it. Final thoughts from you, Ryan the hockey guy. What are you going to be watching for in terms of Vegas? We talked about San Jose. What are you going to be watching for in terms of the home squad here, VGK?
I mean, the game needs to look exactly like it did the other day. They've got to be really good in their own zone. Do not spend a lot of time defending, especially with a rookie in the lineup. Make sure if you're the forwards, you're coming back, you've got a lot of support for your young defenseman, and then just be smart with the puck through the neutral zone, get in and try to get as many scoring chances as possible.
All right, there you go. That is Ryan Wallace, aka Ryan the Hockey Guy. You can find him on Twitter at Ryan Hockey Guy. All right, got a stacked, loaded weekend of NFL for you. You got some college games. You got Michigan going at it in a top 20 battle. You got Auburn going at it against Florida in a top 10 matchup. Plenty of, if you can't find joy in this sports weekend, I don't know what you're doing listening to the show, because basically all we talk about, if it's not the robots, it's sports. And it's interchangeable in terms of importance. All right, we will be back here on Monday. You enjoy the game. Stay out of trouble. Also, late breaking news in terms of the UFC this weekend. Robert Whittaker out of his main event fight with Israel Adesanya. Terrible news. We'll talk about it on Monday.